Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle.
Hello, Trauma Healer Circle, and welcome to your final bonus episode of 2021. Today is Monday, December 27th. We have just 4 days left in this crazy year. If you hear any noises in the background of my recording, it's because my whole family is home and my daughter's bedroom is right above my office, and she has decided to deep clean her bedroom today. So there may be some scooting, some shuffling, some vacuuming, some clicking. Who knows? Normally, I try to make my family be quiet whenever I'm recording podcasts, but I don't know. The longer I do this work from home thing, especially now that my husband's working from home too, the more I'm like, you know what? This is our real life. Like, we have kids, they're home during the day. We have dogs, they bark. We have interruptions. We have a UPS guy that comes almost every single day. Like, our house is noisy and bustling, and this is my life. So just little warning if you hear any background noise. But anyway, back to this episode for today. So I've gone back and forth. Really not even back and forth, I guess. I've sort of struggled to come up with what this bonus episode was going to be about. I didn't know if I wanted to try to have a guest. I didn't know if I wanted to just talk about something random. And when I find myself not really knowing what to talk about or what to have a podcast about, that is basically my sign to myself that the answer is to do nothing and just wait. If I don't have clear direction, the answer is wait. And whenever I lived in a space of constant nervous system dysregulation and activation, and I was dealing with all the anxiety, I felt a constant sense of urgency. So my nervous system was in that binary state of you either act right now or you don't. You either do this or you don't. Like, it was very, you know, yes, no, right, wrong. And the more healing I've done, the more capacity I have created in my nervous system to be able to sit in the middle space of wait, of not right now, of maybe, of I'll have to think about that for a little while. Whereas before, in that constantly dysregulated state, it was a sense of urgency and a rush to always have an answer, to always know what to do next, to always know what I was going to talk about, which of course is impossible to always do. There's another binary, right? Always and never. It's impossible to always know what you're supposed to do. And when you can't handle the unknown and the uncertainty in your nervous system, the tendency is to create urgency and to jump and act right now. And that is a reaction instead of a response. And so it is a conscious response to be able to say, you know what? I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about. I owe these circle members a bonus episode. And my end of the deal is that I have to put it out within the next 4 days. But I can't do anything because I don't actually know what I'm going to talk about. And then as I was falling asleep last night, as very often happens, it came, what I was supposed to share with you. So what the universe, God, source, spirit, love, universal consciousness, whatever you prefer to call it, has asked me to share is the messages that I'm receiving right now. So these are not messages necessarily for the collective or for you. These are my own personal messages. And what I mean by messages is the guidance and intuition that I receive from the universe, from God, source, spirit, love. It's the inner knowing that I just have. I don't have an explanation for how I know it. I just know it. And my intuition has gotten increasingly stronger over the last couple of years. And now my intuition is one of my greatest strengths as a trauma coach, because I'm not just looking at somebody through the lens of the body keeps the score or even looking through the lens of their nervous systems, I'm actually looking at them from the perspective of my higher self, my highest self. And my intention with every single one-on-one coaching session I have is that my highest self will connect to the highest self of my client, and that together we can co-create whatever it is that the client needs in that moment, in that particular container, for support and healing. So that's what I'm relying on today, is that same intuition. And as I was falling asleep last night, it came to me. And the messages that I'm sharing with you are the intuitive downloads, the spiritual messages, the gut feelings. Like, it's very difficult to put into words something so abstract. And the only way I know to describe it is when you know, you know. When I know I've received a message from the universe, I know it. I don't have an explanation for how I know it. Sometimes the universe sends me a sign. One of my signs, if you've heard me on any of the episodes about ancestral healing, one of my signs from the universe is a representation of my grandmother, which is a hummingbird. And in the last 3 days, obviously living in northeastern Minnesota at this time of year, we're actually currently having a blizzard. I'm watching out my window right now, and we've gotten about 8 inches of snow since 6 o'clock this morning, and it's only 1:30, so it's really coming down hard. But so obviously it's impossible for me to see a real life hummingbird right now because hummingbirds aren't here. They've left. But in the last 2 days on Instagram, I've actually just randomly come across videos of hummingbirds. And so anytime that starts happening, I've been dealing with this sign of the hummingbird for long enough now that I know when I start seeing hummingbirds with frequency, especially in the wintertime, that is one of my signs that a message is coming through from my grandmother, or that is the representation of my grandmother in the spirit realm. It's very difficult to explain, but I've been seeing hummingbirds. And then I also believe that as soon as you tell the universe, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to talk to these people about something, but I don't know what it is. That actually creates openness, even in the not knowing. You know, there's openness there because it means I don't know, but I'm open to knowing. I'm open to whatever is possible here. And so that's what came through for me last night as I was falling to sleep, which is interesting because one of the messages, I'm going to share three messages that I'm getting from the universe right now, and one of them is to open. And it's so interesting because the last 2 weeks I've been wrapping up the Holistic Trauma Healing Coaching Program with the first round of clients that went through it. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been finishing our final sessions and getting last minute questions answered and support given and all of that before we close out this year. And I open a new coaching container in January. And literally without fail, probably 80% of the clients that I've worked with over the last 2 weeks, the message for them also has been to open. So what do I mean by that? Well, I think we first have to define or discuss what being closed means. Trauma closes us. Trauma creates a state of constriction and shut down. There's no room for expansion. Expansion can even feel threatening or scary. So trauma closes us off. It closes us off to new perspectives or possibilities. It closes us off to risk. It closes us off to new experiences. It closes us off to love and intimacy. Trauma closes. And the closing is for protection. I mean, that's how our ego and our nervous systems are protecting us. The less we can let in, the reasoning is, the less hurt we will be, or the less unsafe we will be. So we close off, we close off, we close off. It's a protective mechanism. It's an egoic mechanism, and it doesn't serve us. And ever since working with Evelyn Hale, who is one of our circle members and also my real life coach, ever since working with Evelyn this year, I worked with her for 4 months this year, and over and over and over, what we worked on for me was opening. I had to realize that I was in a very closed off, toxic masculine state, and I wanted to shift that and be more in my divine feminine state, which is a state of openness and readiness to receive. And what I realized is that not only does trauma cause us to close down and constrict, but because we're closed down and constrict, we're also closed off from receiving. So healing that we may want to receive, love, joy, money, intimacy, friendship, any of the things that we want to receive, we can think we want to receive them, but if our energy is closed, then those things are not able to come in. And then we can feel like a victim because we're like, well, why am I not receiving? Like, I'm asking for money. I'm asking for this relationship. I'm asking for more intimacy in my friendships, but I'm not getting it. Why? This doesn't work. But the answer isn't that it doesn't work. The answer is that there's probably some constricted, closed off energy. And that's what I've been uncovering in myself this year. That has been the theme of 2021 for me, is that I'm closed off and I need to open myself up to receive. So that's one of the messages that I have going into 2022. I actually choose words every year and I write them on my whiteboard in my office, and they serve as a reminder for what my intentions are. And one of the words that I've written on my board is open. And for me, what this looks like, first of all, is, of course, awareness. Awareness is 90% of the battle. And just noticing when I'm closing off, when I'm shutting down, when I'm recoiling, when I'm backing away, noticing when that's happening and why it's happening. Who am I with? What are we doing? What's the situation? What's going on? And just noticing how my body responds to that by closing and shutting off. I've also been noticing my body language and really making an effort to have openness in my body language. So what I mean by that is noticing when I'm walking around with my arms crossed, when my head is down and I'm looking at the floor instead of looking up. Also noticing that sometimes I have a tendency to walk around with my hands in a fist, or even to like lay in my bed at night, noticing that my hands are kind of balled up in a fist, and then intentionally choosing to open my hands up. Noticing that whenever I sit down to meditate, sometimes I put my hands in my lap and I close them together, and choosing to uncross my hands and open my hands to receive during meditation. So just the noticing, just becoming aware. When am I closing? Why am I closing? What's the feeling there? What am I experiencing in my body? What does that feel like? And how can I open? So that's the first message. Opening is also about leaning in, you know, just to go back to cold plunges. Hopefully you guys aren't sick of me talking about those by now, but just to go back to cold plunges. When you get into that cold water and it's so very uncomfortable, the instinct is to just jump right out, right? Like, I don't want to feel this. This is cold. This hurts. I just want to get out. And of course, you have the agency to get out of cold water whenever you need to, and you certainly don't need to put yourself at risk for hypothermia or anything like that. But I have never felt like I was even close to being hypothermic, even when I've been in 50-something degree water for 15, 20 minutes. So noticing though what that painful feeling is or that discomfort is in my body, and then choosing to lean into it and also not assign meaning to it, not be attached to it or to the outcome or to the story that my ego wants to tell me about it, but choosing to stay in the discomfort is also a form of opening. Even, you know, if you think about it, well, okay, I'll say it some another way. Like, I have noticed that I have been more closed off towards my husband, and that is in my body, and it's not anything that he's doing. It's my body. And so when he comes in for a hug, or when he comes in to, you know, rub my back or kiss my neck or something like that, I notice that I have this like instinct to coil away from him, to sort of like pull myself away. And I don't have an explanation for why that is, other than we've been through a lot the last 3 years, and we've healed from a lot, and there's still healing left to do, and we're committed to that process. But noticing when I'm pulling away from him and then making myself stay, You know, when he comes up to kiss me from behind when I'm washing dishes, and I would normally like pull away from him and be like, oh, I'm busy, you know, don't do that right now. I'm making myself stand there and feel the sensation of his breath on my neck, feel his hands wrapped around my waist, feel the warmth that I feel, even like relaxing my body into him, just consciously, intentionally making myself open because I'm having to widen my window of tolerance again. Isn't that silly? After 20 years of marriage, I'm having to widen my window of tolerance again to being touched intimately by my partner. And it's not because he did anything wrong. It's just because I've had so much trauma over the last 3 years surrounding my relationship because both of us were growing and changing so much and figuring out what we wanted and figuring out who we were and shedding old identities and all the things. It was intense. And my nervous system is letting me know that something about that still doesn't feel safe. So by working with my body and noticing when it's uncomfortable and then choosing to lean in and stay anyway and to open is widening my window of tolerance, and it's creating more openness in my body, which is going to create more openness in my relationship, which is going to allow me to receive the love, the connection, and the intimacy that I desire from my partner. So that's just one example, but we need to open up for anything that we have to receive. So another way that I'm opening right now, and I think this has been going on subconsciously longer than I realize, is with food. So I basically for 2021, everything about my diet has gone to complete shit. Sorry, I had to take a drink. Everything about my diet has gone to complete shit. Like if you knew that I was, or if you didn't know that I used to be like a health food blogger and food photographer and like my living was writing and publishing paleo, keto, Whole 30, vegan, nourishing food recipes. I mean, my food blog was called All the Nourishing Things, okay? It was not a blog about like boxed cake mixes and Hamburger Helper. It was about nourishing foods. And this year in 2021, I have really learned that nourishing doesn't always equal healthy. Sometimes paleo, keto, vegan is actually not nourishing because it's closing us off to pleasure sometimes. Sometimes that, like, you know, that vegan smoothie with raw kale in it, even though it's quote unquote really healthy for you, if it's not bringing pleasure, then it's closing you off. You're closed off to pleasure. And so I've noticed all of these beliefs that I have around food and around what food means and what it means to my body and some of the perspectives that I have about what I put in my body. And I've really shed a lot of that this year, but I only became aware of it within the last like maybe month that I was even doing it. But me letting my diet go, like allowing myself to eat sugar and gluten and dairy and all the things that I avoided for so many years, has actually been an opening process because I used to be so closed off to those things. I used to be in a binary about those things, right? They were bad, they were unhealthy, and I was choosing these things over here that were good and healthy, and really just like not assigning morality to my food anymore is another way that I'm opening up. And like my body is literally expanding because of it. Like it has been an expansive thing for me. And I'm not necessarily saying that as like an exciting thing. It's been scary to expand in this way. Like I've gained like 25, 30 pounds this year. And that feels fucking terrifying to me. But again, I have to go back to, if I keep living my life the way that I was before, when I was full of restriction and had all these foods that I wouldn't allow myself to eat, that were off limits to me, that I assigned, you know, labels like bad and unhealthy and, you know, whatever, like that was creating a constant state of constriction and closure in my body and in my mind and in my emotions. And so allowing myself to open up to that and really take the risks, right? Like take the risks and eating some processed food and some sugar and a lot of gluten and a lot of cheese has been another exercise in really leaning into what used to make me really uncomfortable, and choosing to widen my window of tolerance and also be okay that not only is this expanding me emotionally to be able to nourish myself in a pleasurable way, even if it's not necessarily like a super duper healthy way, but I've been inviting in pleasure, and food is one of the greatest ways that we can experience pleasure. And so much of diet culture is about denying ourselves pleasure. And so I've been reclaiming that for myself, and my body is showing the signs of that expansion with bigger pants and more belly fat. So that is one of my messages for this current time in my life going into 2022 is open to receive, open to receive love, to receive money, to receive new clients, to receive better relationships, to receive fun, to receive pleasure. Just open. Notice where I'm closing off and then choose to open. So that's the first message that I wanted to share with you. And if it resonates, then maybe it's for you. All right, the second message that I'm getting, and this is very specific to being a woman with a womb space, but it could be for men as well. You can adapt it if you're male or identify as male. But the second message that I've really, really been receiving lately has been to return to a practice of nurturing my womb space. So I had some really, really uncomfortable symptoms happening in my womb space for about the last 6 weeks or so. It's a lot better now. I'm excited to see what happens during my next menstrual cycle, because that's when the symptoms sort of climaxed last month and were really painful and uncomfortable. But of course, like now, instead of being afraid of what these new symptoms mean, or being afraid that it means something is terribly wrong with me, the message that I'm getting is to just reconnect to my womb space and to my root. And about a month ago, I guess, my husband was doing Reiki on me. He's a level 3 master Reiki healer. And he was doing Reiki on me, and he always uses a pendulum over each of my chakras. And my eyes are always closed for this, so I don't really watch the pendulum, but basically when the pendulum moves in one way, he knows that the energy in that chakra is flowing freely, and when the pendulum moves another way, he knows that the energy in that chakra is blocked or stagnant or not moving the way that it's supposed to. So he was doing Reiki on me, and he said that from my throat up, my chakras were completely open. The energy was just flowing beautifully. So that's 3 chakras: your throat, your third eye, and your crown chakra. And then he said around my heart chakra, things started getting a little bit sticky. And then the lower he got, like the more imbalanced it got. And so by the time he got to my sacral and root chakras, he was like, the energy was just like not moving. And so of course he did some energy healing on that. But I'm a big believer in, you don't just go to a Reiki practitioner or some other energy healer and get them to do energy healing on you and then walk out and keep living the way that you were living before. If you have an energetic balance, particularly if it's manifesting as physical symptoms, which whatever's manifesting physically in our body happened energetically first. So our bodies were dealing with it on an energetic level long before we started experiencing symptoms. So of course, you don't just go get the energy healing and get your energy cleared and moving again and then go right back to living the way that you were living before. You have to make choices and changes that align with the reality that you want to create, which for me was a reality where I wasn't experiencing these weird, uncomfortable pelvic symptoms. And so after he cleared my energy up, he actually did Reiki on me like 4 days in a row. And by the 4th day, he was like, wow, things are a lot different than they were whenever I started this 4 days ago. But after that 4 days, I really began seeing a lot of synchronicities and signs like everywhere. And what I mean by that is like I was getting the intuitive nudge or download to do some womb space care practices. And as they were like coming in and dropping into my heart and into my spirit, I would, you know, like pick up my phone and that very practice would be on the first thing I would see on Instagram. Or I would, I also interviewed someone for the podcast. Sorry, I didn't write all this down. So I'm having to like mentally pull things out and it's kind of hard to put it together sometimes. But I interviewed Kate Coletti for the podcast. That's the newest episode on the public podcast, episode 63. And I interviewed her like before Thanksgiving. So this was like right around the time I was first starting to experience some of these uncomfortable symptoms. And I didn't talk to her about the uncomfortable symptoms at first. Well, when I started getting these messages to start some womb care practices, which I'll share in a moment, I just sent Kate a quick message on Instagram and I was like, hey, is it okay if I ask you a personal question? I've got some stuff going on and I would really love your perspective, because she's a holistic pelvic healthcare practitioner. And she was like, sure, what's going on? And so I told her and she was like, okay, let me think about this and I'll get back to you. Well, during that time, I sent her another message and I said, actually, here, I'll open Instagram right now and I'll read it to you because it was so crazy how aligned this was. But I said, so I've also felt some little nudges and synchronicities to add these three things to my self-care and connection to my body right now. 1, herbal vaginal steaming. 2, belly massage. And 3, castor oil packs on my uterus. And then I said, thoughts? And she got back to me and she said, I wrote this morning. And it was on her notes app on her phone. And she was doing self-care plans for her clients. And the first three things on her plan that she wrote down was 1, self-massage, breast, belly, and pelvic bowl. 2, castor oil packs. And 3, vaginal steams or sitz baths or suppositories. So I was like, holy shit, are you serious? Like, really? I just told you that this is what I was getting a nudge from the universe to do. And you literally just wrote that this morning because you're in preparation for your clients. And so that's how I know, like, that's the synchronicity that I'm talking about, where I get these messages from the universe and I don't always have a logical explanation, but then I start seeing signs and things all around me and stuff starts coming through that is confirming over and over, where the universe is like, yes, yes, this is what I want you to do. Yes, this is the next step. Yes, do this. Yes. So that's been happening a lot for me. And I talked about the hummingbird earlier, and that's just one of the ways that the universe is sort of giving me little breadcrumbs to know that the messages I'm hearing are real and they're true for me. And my only job, I guess, is to decide what I'm going to do with them. So you can get a message from the universe and be like, nope, I'm not going to do that thing. Or you can get a message from the universe and be like, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to see if I get any other signs or a confirmation of this or something. Or you can get a message from the universe and without receiving signs or confirmations, you can just immediately take inspired action and do the thing. So anyway, the message is to nurture my womb space. And I believe that this is really important for me right now, particularly because I tend, or the pattern that I'm noticing is that I tend to feel less grounded in the wintertime. In the summertime, I spend a lot of time outside, a lot of time barefoot. I lay on a blanket in my grass for hours at a time. I'm outside. I'm in nature all the time. In the wintertime, I'm inside a lot more. I'm not laying outside on a blanket in the grass. The sun is not shining that much. It's very dark. And I tend to feel less grounded because I feel less connected to the earth. But grounding is also what we feel when our root and sacral chakras are really aligned and the energy is moving the way that it's supposed to. Like, that is where we ground into the earth, is through that root chakra. And the fact that I was having these pelvic symptoms, and then my husband did the Reiki and the energy was stagnant and not moving the way it needed to, coupled with the fact that it's winter and I sort of noticed this pattern of feeling ungrounded winter after winter, the universe is just like, nurture your womb space, like nurture that grounding space, create that grounding in your body. You can't go outside and lay in the grass and connect to the earth that way, but you can connect through your own body and grounding into your root. And so the three practices that I'm doing that are really, really confirmed, especially by Kate and some of the other things I've seen, are Mayan abdominal massage. So I will put a link below in the show notes to a YouTube video that will teach you how to do Mayan abdominal massage. And you can do this whether you're a man or a woman. Also vaginal steaming, which is called yoni steaming as well. And this basically just means like you boil water and you steep herbs in it like you're making tea. And then that obviously creates steam. And then you sit over the pot and you wrap like blankets or towels around yourself to trap the steam in. So you're kind of like creating a steam tent or a little steam tent sauna from your waist down. And the herbs and the steam from the herbs comes up and it penetrates into your vaginal space. And it's really good for just like clearing out stagnation in the pelvis. Women use this for periods that are too heavy or periods that are too light. They use this to clear old blood out of the uterus if your menstrual cycle isn't flushing all of that old blood out every month properly. Some women do this to help increase their fertility. There's like all kinds of benefits for yoni steaming or vaginal steaming. And you can use different herbs to support whatever it is you're trying to heal in your body. So you could use herbs like lavender, yarrow, mugwort, nettle, rose petals, rosemary. You don't use essential oils though, like ever. You don't steam your vagina with essential oils. That's really harsh. But you use these gentle herbs depending on what you're wanting. And I will put a link below for a guide that tells you how to do a vaginal steam and also what herbs to use for what purposes. But that's the second thing that the universe has really downloaded for me to do. The third thing is castor oil packs over my uterus. If you aren't familiar with castor oil packs, it's kind of a messy process. I will put a link in the show notes for you to read about castor oil packs for your uterus. But essentially, you soak a piece of cotton or wool cloth in cold-pressed, hexane-free castor oil. And you squeeze out the excess oil, and then you put the cloth, the soaked cloth, over your uterus. And then I cover it with like a piece of press and seal, because like I said, it's really messy. So I cover it with like a piece of press and seal, and then I lay on a towel, and then I go put a hot water bottle on top of the soaked piece of cloth. So it's like castor oil. And then you heat it up with a hot water bottle or a heating pad and you sit with it on for 30 minutes, an hour. Sometimes people sleep with it on there, but I don't want to get castor oil all over my sheets. So I'm doing castor oil packs like once, twice a week. I mean, and again, I didn't say this already, so I shouldn't say again, but the only thing I'm doing every day is the abdominal massage. I'm not doing the vaginal steaming or the castor oil packs every day. And you should not do castor oil packs or vaginal steaming when you're ovulating or when you're on your period. Well, if you're ovulating, you can do a vaginal steam, but not if you're trying to get pregnant. So you don't want to do a vaginal steam if you're ovulating and trying to get pregnant. And then the fourth thing that I do pretty much all the time, it's one of my nervous system hygiene practices, is gentle pelvic floor therapy. So I don't recommend you doing this if you haven't seen a pelvic floor physical therapist before, because you can do a lot of damage if you incorrectly go into doing pelvic floor physical therapy without knowing the state of your pelvic floor. So what I mean by this is, for example, I had hypertonic pelvic floor dysfunction. That's the most common type of pelvic floor dysfunction. And I started pelvic floor physical therapy in March of 2019. Hypertonic pelvic floor dysfunction is classified by a pelvic floor that is really tense, but really weak. So the muscles of the pelvic floor are very tight and they hold a lot of tension and stress, but those muscles aren't very strong. So women with hypertonic pelvic floor dysfunction, or men too, because men can have it as well. So people with hypertonic pelvic floor dysfunction typically will have some stress incontinence, which is where you leak some urine whenever you jump up and down or sneeze or cough. And then that was one of my main symptoms. I didn't even realize it was pelvic floor dysfunction until later when my pelvic floor was like basically screaming at me. So if I had just been like, oh, I have pelvic floor dysfunction, I should start doing Kegels, like that would have been a huge mistake, because Kegels are all about strengthening and toning the muscles of the pelvic floor. But when you have a hypertonic pelvic floor, the muscles are really tense and they need to be released first before strengthening begins. So I was in pelvic floor physical therapy, receiving manual therapy, which is literally what you think it is. It's the pelvic floor therapist puts their finger inside your body and massages the tissue and works out the kinks and finds the tension and releases it. And it's a very intimate process. I know and love my pelvic floor physical therapist a lot because we've spent a lot of time together in very intimate ways. But I think I was in pelvic floor therapy, getting manual therapy, for almost a year before I ever did a Kegel. So that's why I'm saying you need to work with a pelvic floor therapist if you don't know the state of your pelvic floor. Don't just start doing Kegels and then be like, oh, this is nervous system hygiene, I'm doing pelvic floor work. Like, you really should get evaluated first is what I'm saying. I have been evaluated. I have a very close relationship with my pelvic floor physical therapist, and so I know the state of my pelvic floor. So what I do now, because my pelvic floor is no longer hypertonic, I don't have a diagnosis of pelvic floor dysfunction anymore, but I really enjoyed the way that pelvic floor physical therapy helped me to connect to my body, especially to my root and to my womb space. And it was really helpful for me to get out of my head and into my body by doing pelvic floor exercises and physical therapy. So even though I don't have pelvic floor dysfunction anymore, I know the importance of pelvic floor physical therapy, and I know that it is a tool that is going to serve me well for the rest of my life. And I also really like how it helps me to reconnect to my pelvis and to my womb. So it's a practice that I continue even though I don't have pelvic floor dysfunction. So for me, what gentle pelvic floor therapy feels like is I am laying down and I am breathing and feeling my pelvic floor open completely whenever I inhale, and then feeling my pelvic floor contract whenever I exhale. And then whenever I'm ready, I will do my inhale, let my pelvic floor open, and then I do a long, it's almost like an elevator kind of Kegel. But it takes me like 10, 12 seconds. So if my pelvic floor is totally open, then I begin to just gently squeeze my pelvic floor muscles together very slowly. And I'm like, lift, 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 lift. So I do that 12 times, and that's one Kegel. Okay. There's no like squeeze, release. It's not that at all. So I do that like probably 5 to 8 times. And then I turn over and I get on all fours and I do a little bit of core work, very, very gentle core work, while also engaging my pelvic floor. So it's very difficult. If you can't picture all that in your head, it's fine. I'm not making a recommendation for you to do it, because I would much rather you go get checked out by a pelvic floor physical therapist first. But that's what gentle pelvic floor physical therapy looks like for me. And that's one of my ways that I'm nurturing my womb space and also grounding into my own body and also keeping the energy in my root chakra moving. And, you know, I don't know if this is going to resolve these weird, uncomfortable symptoms that I've had. The goal, though, is not to get rid of the symptoms. The goal is to listen to my body. And if my body is calling for attention to my womb space and my pelvic floor, and it's doing so by manifesting some symptoms, then I'm not just going to go get some energy healing and then call it a day. I'm going to go get the energy part, you know, worked out and balanced, and then I'm going to do the physical action steps to support that. So it's Mayan abdominal massage, yoni steaming, castor oil packs over my uterus, and then gentle pelvic floor therapy. And then the third and final message that I'm receiving from the universe right now is to weave my web. My husband reminds me of this all the time. Lindsay, are you weaving your web? Go weave your web. And I roll my eyes at him whenever he says that, but it's so true. What this means, if you have been a member of the Trauma Healer Circle for a while, you know that the spider and the spider's web have a really big significance in my work. And the universe has often used the spider and the web as a metaphor for all kinds of different things, relating to not only my business, but also my life. And one of the ways that the universe is telling me to weave my web right now, and what that means to me, is quit focusing outside yourself and come back to your job. Like, come back to weaving your web. That's all you have control over anyway, is your own web. You know, you weave your web and let everybody else weave theirs. And whoever's meant to find your web will find it. You just have to weave it. So I know there are some spiders who are hunters and they actually go out searching for food. But for the most part, spiders weave webs. They don't go out hunting and searching for food. They weave their web and they wait for nourishment to come to them. And that is the message that's coming through from the universe for me right now, is you don't need to go out looking for clients, looking for people to, you know, work with, looking for new podcast guests. You don't need to go out looking for it. You need to weave your web and wait. You sit and you wait and you wait. And your nourishment, whether that's spiritual nourishment, physical nourishment in the form of money to pay my bills, because that's nourishment too, whatever the nourishment is, it will come to me. I don't have to go out and seek it. I just have to weave my web. And my web is holistic trauma healing. That's my web. And I, especially probably the last quarter of 2021, I have gotten into a habit that has been driven by a scarcity mentality and also fear of looking outside of myself at what other trauma coaches and other healers and other people in this, you know, spiritual slash, well, the intersection of spirituality and trauma healing. Like, I've been looking at what they're doing and sort of mimicking it, and it has been a failure every single time. Every single time, it's been a failure. Here's one of the things that I will share that was a failure. So back in November, I opened up 90-minute coaching sessions, like single one-off coaching sessions. Like, if you just wanted to have 90 minutes with me and you'd never worked with me before, you could schedule one of these one-off coaching sessions. And I had 20 spots available. And I talked about it on Instagram. I wrote emails about it. I told people about it. Like, I was really pushing these 90-minute one-off coaching sessions. And not a single one was booked. Not a single one. And upon reflection, I realized that the reason that I even opened those coaching sessions up was because I was trying to make a little extra money before the end of the year. And there's nothing wrong with trying to make a little extra money at any time, but my frequency or my mindset, my energy going into that was from a place of scarcity, of what if we don't have enough? which of course is ridiculous, because we do have enough and we've always had enough. Even when in that moment it didn't seem like enough, it always was. So I'm telling you this very transparently because it came from a lack mentality. And that was why I opened up those coaching spots. So not surprisingly, no one signed up, because you may not be able to consciously feel that energy or know that that energy is there, but it's there. And people, whether they know it or not, read energy. Like, everyone who's ever worked with me as a client has never said, oh, I want to work with you because of your credentials or because of your amazing podcast or because you have this successful membership or you have 10,000 Instagram followers. Like, nobody has ever said that that's why they want to work with me. Every person who's ever wanted to work with me says they want to work with me because of my authenticity and because there's something about me that drew them to me. That is energy. Whether they know it or not, it's energy. So if the energy behind me opening up these one-off coaching sessions was lack and scarcity and urgency energy, somebody may not be able to like consciously identify that, but that's still the energy that's there. So it's no surprise that nobody booked, because the universe isn't going to bless me whenever I'm operating from that energy. And that is one example of how I wasn't weaving my web. I was looking at what other coaches were doing and seeing that, oh, wow, seems like a lot of coaches like do something for Black Friday. I haven't done anything for Black Friday yet. I'll open up these coaching sessions. Like, no. I'm not saying it was wrong for me to open up the coaching sessions. I'm saying the energy behind opening those coaching sessions was all off. And it came from a place of scarcity, of lack, of fear that I was not going to have enough money, and then of looking at what other people were doing and trying to copy that. And of course, it failed miserably. Nobody signed up for one. So, you know, my husband, who knows me better than anyone and who is always the one telling me to weave your web, Lindsay, just weave your web. My husband was like, it's because you weren't weaving your web. You were trying to go out and get your nourishment instead of weaving your web and letting it come to you. And as a human design projector, I think that this analogy of weaving the web and then waiting for nourishment to come to me is probably the best and most practical way that I know of to live in alignment with my type. And the nourishment coming to me is the invitation that people give me to coach them or to speak into their lives or whatever. So those are the messages I'm getting right now. Open, 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 open. Nourish and nurture your womb space. Ground yourself in yourself and weave your web. Weave your web. So I don't know if this resonates for any of you guys or if this was just me sharing a lot of personal stuff, but no matter what, this is what the universe told me to share with you today. So this is what I share. And I am so thankful that you're in my circle. I'm so glad you're here. I believe you're here for a reason. We may not know what that reason is yet, but I believe you're here for a reason. I believe you're part of my web for a reason. And I'm really grateful that you're here. And I'm honored that you choose to share this space with me. I'm very honored that you are part of this membership and that you are helping to support my family every month whenever you pay for your membership. So thank you for that. We are having our monthly membership call tomorrow, December 28th at 7 p.m. Central Time. I doubt very many of you listened to this before then, but it is happening. And what I want to do is kind of a debrief of 2021. What did you learn? What were your challenges? What have you overcome? How is life showing up differently? How are you showing up differently? let's talk about that. And then also, I really want your feedback on the Trauma Healer Circle. Another message I've been getting, I haven't shared it here because I wanted to try to keep it short, and this is almost 50 minutes now, but another message that I've been getting is to invest more into this community and to really nurture this community as part of my web. And I've always wanted to co-create this with you guys. I've never wanted to make it myself and be like the leader and the person in charge. I'm just the one who's created the container. So I want to know, like, what do you guys want? What other things can I provide for you that would make this space more supportive for you? Like the community forum doesn't get much use. Do you guys want to get rid of it? Do we want to do away with it? Do we want to try for a month or two to use it more and see if we benefit from it? I've thought about doing things like making members only Spotify playlist. I've thought about doing like a monthly free guided meditation that I send you in your email. I have a lot of ideas written down and I haven't really taken action on any of them yet. And I realized today the reason I haven't taken action yet is because if I'm co-creating this with you, then I need your input. So I would love to know what would be the most beneficial for you. What would you like to see in the Trauma Healer Circle that would support you or that would be really unique and different, and that vibes with this space? So be thinking about that. And of course, you don't have to wait until a circle call to tell me. You're welcome to email me anytime or put a post up in the forum. I will read it and let me know, what do you want? What do you need? What do you need from this membership, from this space, from this community? So things for you to be thinking about. But that is all I have to say today. And thank you so much for being here again. And I wish you a happy, happy new year. Happy 2022. Everything is okay, folks. Everything is okay. Love over fear. I'll talk to you guys later.